Yes, sir. Wilson Rush Podcast at it again. A nice little Saturday here. We're going to talk a lot of NFL today, but first we got the usual suspects. See, Rush, how you feeling?
Just enjoying another Saturday full of football, man.
Yeah, I know that's right. T-Will, how you feel, man?
I'm pretty good, man. Just sitting back, laid back, man, watching some games.
Yes, sir. I know that's right. We got a good one for you guys today. I know you guys probably saw the Arian Foster situation. He said, hey, I got to eat. So he took some benefits at Tennessee, and he said the NCAA are basically bullies. So we'll talk about that situation. And we want to dive into the Chip Kelly situation. You know, we want to go real talk on this situation, not what can happen, what should happen. Will this situation work in the NFL, point blank, plain and simple? And what's going on with RG3? Is it too early? Is it mental? What is it? But first, T-Will, and I'll go to you on this one. We want to talk about the Richardson trade going to Indianapolis Colts. Obviously, it made the Colts a better team. We'll discuss that in a second. But, T-Will, for the Cleveland Browns, do you like this deal or not?
No, I do not. Trading away the one positive that they had going, to me, fine. He was their offense. You know, Trent Richardson, he was their offense. You know, Brandon Weeden, he struggled the first two games. And, you know, the first two games, he has like one touchdown and three interceptions. So the one bright spot they did have was Trent Richardson, and he's an all-around dynamic back. And I think in the next 2 years in this league, he'll be one of the top backs in this league. And they want to – it looks like the Cleveland Browns want to stockpile picks, you know, moving forward, which if that's what they're trying to do, then perfectly, you know, that's fine. But as far as putting a product on the field for these fans in Cleveland, man, it's a tough situation right there. You know, they're known for having a dog pound out there, and it's just rough because, you know, Coach Chukwuemeka, we talked about him on an earlier podcast, fine. This really handicaps him right now, you know, moving his best offensive weapon, his best offensive player. Now I think it's going to be a lot easier the game plan for the Cleveland Browns offense, and it's probably going to be even more of a disappointing season this year for them.
Now, T, I'm going to be honest here. Now, I looked at the trade, and at first when I saw it, I said, what are these guys doing? But then I started thinking about it, T, and I'll be honest. When I was preparing for the show, I started thinking about it, and I said, you know what? He's a great running back. But here's my thing about this, and I want to ask you this because maybe I'm wrong. If they keep him, how do they ever have a chance to improve the team as a whole if they keep him on the roster? Because that's the problem that I'm dealing with this situation, because I see if they keep him, and it's just my opinion, I don't see how they're ever a competitive team if they don't stockpile these draft picks. Because as we know, T-Wheel, we got to be honest, people aren't going to Cleveland in free agency to play for him. So how do they get better if they keep Mr. Richardson?
Well, it's the same way that the Indianapolis Colts got better when they drafted Peyton Manning. You build through the draft, and you start with the Trenton Richardson, and then you continue to build and continue to build around him and things like that, fine. So you have to build through the draft. And I thought that that's what they were doing when they initially drafted him. You know, I wasn't too big on the Brandon Weeden pick, but I did think that, you know, getting a cornerstone of your running game and actually trying to start to build around that, I thought that was a great start. But it seems like, you know, they wanted to get rid of him to gain more picks, and you know that's solely up to that general manager and that team president. If that's the route they want to go, you know, perfect. You know, that's perfectly fine. But I mean, it's not like they're going to have the 15th pick in the draft with that team with Richardson on it. They were going to consistently be in the top five, so they would have definitely got more talent coming. So now that just probably puts them in the top three every year.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they're just throwing this season away. But I mean, I got to be honest with you. I mean, I don't know. I mean, because if you keep him, what you're basically saying, in my opinion, is you got to hit on every draft pick you take. So I think when you stockpile these draft picks, as you say, T. Will, I think give you a little bit more opportunity for just an error or an injury or something like that. But C. Rush, I mean, what do you think about this situation?
The Cleveland fans have been done a disservice, in my opinion. It's not too often you come across a running back of his caliber. You know, you can count them on your hands, on your fingers, how many running backs there are like this. It's the reason that he was held in this high regard. Now, what you're basically saying to your fans is, hey, wait for next year. You know, these fans have been waiting forever. You know, and Cleveland's a loyal city, a blue-collar city, and, you know, I don't know if they're trying to trade him to correct the pick that they made a mistake on in Brandon Wheaton. So their draft record isn't as golden as it may seem. You know, I understand it's a new GM, a new regime, but if you have a cornerstone of a great running back, you can build off of him. You're going to be a terrible team anyway. You're going to be a top five team anyway, so you can draft your top five quarterback next year, you know. So unless they have a vision and plan, but as a fan, it's hard to see, you know, somebody who basically was the face of that team. You know, fans are buying Trent Richardson jerseys. Fans are, you know, just doing whatever to watch him play. And now he's not there anymore. So what motivation do these fans have? You can't keep saying, wait till next year, wait till next year. You know, it's the NFL. It's going to sell, but you don't want to lose your fan base. You don't want these teams to revolt on you. And you don't want this coach to lose his job because it's going to be a couple years away. And we already know the turnover rate in the NFL. So I would rather go down with my best player rather than just trade him away if I had any input as a coach. But I don't think this was on him. I think this came from the hierarchies.
No, I agree. I agree with you 100% on that situation. I believe it definitely came from high up. But see, Russ, you said two things and that I want you to talk more about is you said, first of all, you said wait to next year. And then you said the coach can lose his job for giving up Richardson. But I got to say this. I agree with T-Will 100%. They were going to have one of the worst records in the NFL anyway if they kept him. So I want to be basically what I'm saying is, what difference does that make when the end result will be the same?
That's my point exactly. You know, they're going to be a top five. They're going to have a top five pick. Now, they're going to get the quarterback of their choice. I believe that's where they're going to lean to. Now, what they're doing, they got Indy's first-round pick, correct? So now you're going to get a pick anywhere between 16 and, say, it could be between 16 and sky's limit 32. So they're trying to get depth with that pick, but you're just sacrificing fan base. You're sacrificing a lot of stuff that people come to see. You know, people are excited. You know, here we're excited to go see Megatron. We're excited to go see Reggie Bush. It's people that are excited to go see certain players. I couldn't tell. Are they excited to see Greg Little? Are they excited to see Brandon Wheaton? What are they excited about there? You know, so and the coach could lose his job. You know, even though this had nothing to do with him, if they have the plan, you know, set up down the road, you know, he could legitimately lose his job. You know, because let's be honest, the NFL. You know, if you're not winning quickly, you'll get fired.
So, T, I just want you to talk about this before we move on here. And this is just my personal opinion, T, in professional sports. If you stink, if you want to gamble, just to stink a little bit more, but it can help you in the future. What's wrong with that, though?
Well, that's such. Fine, that makes sense. But in this situation, it doesn't make sense to me. And this is why I say that, Fine. They get Indy's first-round pick, which this trade makes Indy a better team. So Indy will have a low first-round pick, you know, like Shane said, from like 16 to 32. There isn't a player in this draft that's going to give you equal or greater value from 16 to 32 that Trent Richardson is giving these guys. Okay, so what I think, I think it was a win for the Colts, and I think it was a loss for the Browns, fine, because they're not even going to get equal value back on this draft pick.
Yeah, I mean, hey, this is one of these trades, though, that we just got to be honest here, guys. And T, I'll stay with you. Just tell me if I'm wrong. I think this is one of these trades that we got to revisit in about a year to really see if the Browns were 100% losers. So they're losers right now. There's no doubt about that. But they were going to stink anyway. That's my point. But do you think that's true, T, that we just got to revisit this and really see if it helped the Browns or they just blew it again?
You have to revisit it. I mean, it's almost like the NBA draft. I mean, you draft some players, you think you got something, but you have to wait for a year or two down the road to see what a draft class really turns out to be. And I think that's one of these trades, fine. I absolutely agree.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that. I mean, the Cleveland Browns they've always stank. And now, like I said, they stink before they traded Richardson, and now they're just going to stink a little bit more. We'll see if it helps them in the future or not. But okay, guys, let's see, Rush. I'm gonna jump to you on this one, and we're gonna switch gears, and we're gonna talk about RG3. They're 0-2. They got the Lions coming in, and RG3. See, Rush, he's looked kind of timid to me. That's what he looked like to me. Some people called him rusty. He didn't play in the preseason. I think it's him just being timid. That's just my opinion. But what do you think is going on with RG3? See, Rush.
It's a combination of both, I believe. You know, this is his second ACL surgery, and he's hearing all that stuff during the summer about his knee. Should he have played in that game? Should he done this? Does he need to pass more, run more, go out of bounds? So it's in his head, you know. It's sometimes that you watch him and it's like, oh, he could break this, but he's not looking like himself for the most part. So it has to do with not taking snaps in game situations. You know, you can rep all you want to in practice, but unless you're in the flow of the game and playing with the ones and playing with your guys, it's totally different. You know, it's a different game speed than practice speed, no matter how much you try to simulate it. And another thing is that knee, you know, it's only he knows. Only he knows how he feels. Is he 100% healthy? He says he is, but his actions don't speak that. You know, every option read they've ran this year, he's gave it every time. He hasn't tucked it. He hasn't pulled it once. So, you know, as a man, he's like, maybe he's not ready to get hit and feel that pain, or he doesn't know. It's an unknown. It's an unknown variable there, because, like I said, he tore his ACL at Baylor, and once again, he tore his ACL this year. So that has to, I don't care how strong you are, that's a mental barrier that only he is going to be able to overcome. But, you know, with time, and it's going to take one time of him pulling it and exploding down the field, he'll regain that confidence. And that goes along with his regular passing game as well. You know, even though he ran the pistol a lot, he can pass the ball as well. That adds another element to his game. So, and it changes the coverages that he's going to see. So until he realizes that he alone has to get over his mental barrier, you know, he's going to show that rust.
Now, let me ask you this, C. Rush. Do you think this is going to hurt the Redskins, them coming out saying basically Super Bowl or bust? Do you think that's going to hurt them?
Of course, because you know what? They're really not a Super Bowl caliber team, in my opinion. You know, they had a great year, phenomenal year last year, but you can't expect to have that same result with your star quarterback coming off ACL surgery. This is not a team that's set in place like the Patriots were when Tom Brady tore his ACL. You know, this is a totally different monster we're dealing with. So when you put this pressure on him, and that's another thing that people are not talking about. It's so much pressure on him because Shanahan wants this, RG3 saying this, Dan Snyder just wants butts in the seats. So you got everybody just talking, and then you're hearing rumors that Kirk Cousins is really Shanahan's guy. You know, that's too much pressure to say Super Bowl or bust. You got to get your quarterback back for one, and then you got to get a win. So it's a lot of stuff that's going on there in Washington that's really came to a head too soon.
Yeah, you dropped some good knowledge on that one, C. Rush. We're gonna go to T. Will on this one, and you know, T, what do you see in this situation? Because I got to be honest with you, they lost to Philadelphia. You know, Green Bay was coming off a loss to San Francisco. So in my opinion, T. Will, they were going to be 0-2 regardless on how RG3 played, in my opinion. So what do you think about the situation, T?
Well, I just think in RG3 case, you can't, you know, as a quarterback, you can't miss the entire preseason, you know, that's in training camp. I mean, that's like a whole month worth of football, you know, 4 weeks and just really getting after it. And that's already a setback. And then you talk about the injury and not taking a hit yet and it being in his mind and fresh. It's a mental thing. The quarterback position is such a fragile position because mentally, guys, so much stuff goes on in quarterbacks' minds. They don't need the stress of, you know, shall I pull it or can I take this hit and things like that. And to add the no preseason to it, guys. So, yes, he's going to be rusty because of that. But at the same time, I think you have to stick with him. I think you have to move forward with RG3. You kind of have to let him play himself back to where he's comfortable. You know, he's not playing comfortable football right now. Once he gets to a point where he's playing some comfortable football, I think the Redskins will be okay. But this Super Bowl or bust quote, to me, that's absurd. I mean, they're not a Super Bowl or bust team. I think the Redskins can have a successful season if they make the playoffs, maybe get a win or two in the playoffs. I think that would be considered a successful season for the Redskins, just living in reality. You know, I wouldn't say Super Bowl or bust. I don't think they're ready yet. You know, if you want to look at that, I think they need to upgrade their receivers. I think RG3 needs about another year or two up under his belt. I think he needs to be 100% coming into the season before they start saying the Redskins are a Super Bowl or bust team. So that's what I think needs to happen first. And the Lions are coming to town, and that may be the antidote for RG3. You know, this may be what he needs. You know, the Detroit Lions to come to town to give him the confidence that he needs, because that's what we've done in the past.
It's funny you say that, T. This is what I'm hoping for. I got a couple questions for you, but I'm really hoping for that they don't hit this guy low on purpose, T. Will. And I got to be honest, man. We know him for being dirty, but honestly, I'm really hoping that we don't do that to RG3, T. Will.
Well, I mean, hitting them low on purpose or not. Whether, I'm going to be honest, fine. Let's say it's by mistake. They still going to say we did it on purpose. They still going to call us dirty. You know, so whether it's clean or whether it is intentional, fine. Either way it goes, if we hit that young man low, I mean, we're going to be looked at in a negative light. There's no situation that I could see where a Detroit Lion hits him low and they'd be like, oh, you know what? You know, that's cool. It wasn't dirty. I just don't see that. It can be a 100% a mistake, or somebody pushes him into him and they still say we did it on purpose.
But you're right, T. I mean, we did that to ourselves, though, so we can only blame ourselves for that and our rep. But, T, it's something that you said, and I just want to be clear on this, and I want to make sure I'm not sure which side of the fence you're on this one. Now, you said we all know that quarterback is a tough position to play, but you said he didn't play in preseason, so basically, duh, he is going to be rusty. Now, when you say that, are you saying that you would have played him in preseason, or are you just saying that you expected him to be rusty because he didn't play in preseason?
You have to expect him to be rusty because he didn't play in preseason. And Shane hit on some of those key points. You know, the timing with the receivers, the mesh points with your running backs, just the offensive line hearing your voice when you're going through your cadence. There's tons of little things that adds up that can make a huge difference. And that's what it is, you know. And he's off the mark with some of his balls. You know, he's late. Some of his guys are coming out of breaks when they should, and he's delivering the ball late. So there's tons of things. And that's the reason we have preseason. And, you know, they have discussions on should preseason be shortened and this, that, and the other. You know, I kind of like it because once the season starts, I figure everyone should be in that groove where they're really hitting that stride. And the season is, you know, week one is perfect to me. I like the 4-game preseason going right into week one. So I think it's a perfect scenario. And when you miss all of that, it's a lot of stuff that's off. And RG3, he's kind of playing his way back into it. It's almost like in the NBA when a basketball player is coming off an injury, but he, you know, he's really not conditioned. You let him play himself back into basketball shape, and that's kind of the same situation right here.
Now, T, I just want to be honest on this situation. This is just me. I don't think RG3 likes Shanahan. I really don't, and that's just my opinion. I could be wrong, but the quotes I've been reading in the summertime and the press conference, I don't think he likes them. So if they don't make the playoffs, and I think Shanahan's a solid NFL coach, I don't think Mike Shanahan will be back. But T. Will, I'm just going to be honest. They're lucky. They're not in a very good division. Do you think they fix this situation and make the playoffs.
It's going to be tough for the Redskins to make the playoffs, but I think it all depends on RG3. If he can fix his stride and find that comfort point sooner than later, I say yes, fine. They can fix it and be a playoff team. But if it takes him a little bit longer to get over that knee injury and the mental part of that, and also to knock this rust off, if it takes him a little bit longer, fine. You know, it could be a long season for the Redskins, and you could possibly see some of that stuff going to the media. But I totally agree, fine. I don't think Shanahan and RG3 get along at all. I could just tell some of RG3 comments. He tries too hard to say, well, you know, he's the coach and I'm the player. You know, he tries too hard to the media to portray that it's not a problem there, when you can all just tell that it is. It's a huge issue there in Washington. And I can tell you right now, RG3 won't be going anywhere.
No, see, and that's what I'm saying. The thing that Mike Shanahan might be able to fix this, and I'll ask C. Rush the same thing, because I got to be honest with you, C. Rush, 8 wins may win a division. That may win a division, so that's why do you think they're going to fix this and can win this division? Because it's never too late to win this thing. This thing is a disaster.
Yeah, it is. It's 1-1, 1-2. I mean, it's just nobody's above 500 in this division. So can they? Yes, they have a puncher's chance of getting in there. You know, they still got to play a couple everybody other than Philadelphia in that division. I believe so. I believe they can get in, because this division is just awful. You know, you never know what you're going to get out of Dallas. You never know who Eli going to throw the ball to. And you don't know what's going on. You don't know if they know how to run a two-minute offense when it's two-minute time in Philly. So, you know, I think they still have a chance to get there. They've been there. And it's going to be similar to last year, what's going to come down to the last week. And I think by that time, he'll hit his stride and they'll get there. Because if not, Mike Shanahan will be looking for a job.
Now, this might be a weird statement to make, because they're 0-2 and they haven't won a game, but I still think that they've looked the best out of that bad batch of teams. I just think they've looked the best. Philadelphia turned the ball over way too much. The Cowboys, they don't have a clue who their coach is right now, who's doing what, who's responsible. So, and New York Giants, I think, I just don't think they're that good at all. I just really don't. It may be a time for change there as well. But okay, guys, we got a really long show today. So we got really two more really good topics. So we're not going to do the freestyle round today. But as usual, it's brought to you by the Chris L. Davis Agency. You know, they take good care of us and they help us out with our brand as well. So look them up and give them a call, please. So, we want to talk about this situation. We want to talk about Chip Kelly here. And I'm very excited for this topic, and these guys got a lot of football knowledge, and I don't want to beat around the bush here. And let's start from the top, T-Wheel. Let's just not say, hey, if this happens, yes, if this happened, no. Will this tempo be successful this season in the NFL?
Fine, this is a very intriguing question, and the reason why it's so intriguing to me is because We've seen up-tempo teams, you know, in college and in the NFL. You know, we've seen teams go fast, I'll put it like that. But we've never seen the commitment from it like Chip Kelly is bringing to the table. When you are a full-time high-tempo team, up-tempo team, like to get plays off within a certain amount of time, then you practice like that. You don't really make too many mistakes during practice. You're very fast during practice, and film study is very key, because you're not stopping a lot in practice to make corrections because you're going up tempo. That's a full commitment to it. I believe this is the first time we've ever seen a commitment like this in the NFL. So I'm gonna have to say, if the Philadelphia Eagles continue to make this full commitment to this type of offense, I have to say that it will be successful in the NFL, because it's football. It's football. This offense is very fast, but it's very simple. Usually every play, Michael Vick is reading one play. He's reading one player. And if this one player comes in, he does this. If this one player goes out, he does that. Okay? So I do think that this offense can be effective and successful in the NFL. Now, the thing I think about when I think about this up-tempo style is late in the season, and you have weather situations where it's raining or it's snowing and things like that. So I think that's one knock against it, And but I do think it could be successful in the NFL. I really do, and I'm very intrigued to see it because you know we've never ever in the history of the NFL seen a commitment to this type of style offensively like we're going to see this year.
Now, T. Will, now we as we know, I don't know the official rosters numbers. I think D1 is maybe like 70 or 75. If you know them, you can correct me. And I know the NFL is way under that. So do you think, and plus the NFL season is longer. Now, do you think that that's going to be a factor that you can, you know, you can hold like 70, 75 players on a D1 roster and the NFL roster you can't, and plus they're older?
Well, not really, because when you really look at it, in the NCAA, you can have 70-something players on both teams. In the NFL, you have 50-something players on both teams. So I think just as much of an impact as the offense will have, it'll have on the offense, it'll have on the defense, because both teams are going to be playing up-tempo style. So I don't think that'll be a that'll make a difference. And a lot of people say, you know, hey, look at their skill position, look at the receivers. Well, people don't understand it first originated with the teams that had lesser talent because they couldn't really match up mano on mano with the big name schools. So they spread this thing out, you know, to try to take advantage of some other opportunities. So I think with the receivers of the Philadelphia Eagles, them not having a lot of big names, I think this offense still it'll still work with the guys that they have.
C-Rush, I mean, what do you think about this situation? Because Chip Kelly, and in my opinion, he's in a tricky spot because he's doing something new. So when you bring something to the NFL, C-Rush, and we all know that sometimes if you have a bad first year, they give you another chance, you know, as a regular head coach. But C-Rush, when you bring something new and it does not work, the NFL thinks, okay, it just doesn't work, so you need to go back to college with that. So he's in a situation, C. Rush, where we got to be honest. If it doesn't work, it's going to be see you later. It's not going to be okay, well, you can come back, because they're going to think his tempo, his style doesn't work. But do you think this thing will work, C. Rush?
Like everybody said, this is a tough one. Me personally, I as much as I wish and want it to work, I don't believe it will. And here's why. As a quarterback, you know, if you're a quarterback, you're basically, you know, the head of your team for the most part. Michael Vick is going to get hurt. He's going to get really hurt. And this is not, you know, like in college, you can be protected a little bit. The speed of the game is different, but when they're bearing down on you every play, you got some of the best people who are getting paid top dollars to stop this offense. You know, it's going to be tough. You know, the way that they play is exciting. It's fast. I love it. But you're exposing your quarterback a little bit more. You know, you are keeping the defense out there on the field and you're playing at a higher tempo. But how are your skill guys going to match up every play for play? You know, and this, it is going to come a time in the game to where football is going to be football, to where you're going to have to line up in the I formation and get a yard. You know, you can't come out the read option in 3rd and 3, you know, late in the season when you need a big stop, you know, when you need a big play. That's the thing that troubles me. Making that little switch, you know, I don't know. I haven't watched too many Philly games this year, but I'm not sure if they've been under center too many times. And that's what irks me sometimes. You know, if it's 1st and goal, I'm not a big fan of shotgun and 1st and goal in the NFL, you know, because that thing shrinks. So I really love it. I love the way it looks. I love the tempo. I love the excitement that it has. But you're running all these plays, and like for example, when they played San Diego, Nick Foles had to run into the game. I understand everybody be ready, but you know it's gonna come a time and place where Vic won't get up. It's going to come a time and place, if Nick Foles in the game, he may not get up. You know, they're teaching their ends, don't worry about McCoy. Just hit Vic hard as you can. You know, and he's going to have to make that read. You know, so I love the way it looks, but I just don't think the longevity of it in the NFL is going to last at the rate that he does it at.
And guys, I'm going to be honest with you. And here's the thing. I think it can work. But this is why I'm going to tell you why I don't think it will work. It's because of Michael Vick. I don't think he's accurate, and I think it's going to hurt the team. I really don't. And another thing is this, like C. Rush just said, he's going to take too many hits. I just don't believe he can get Chip Kelly to a 10-11 win season and be successful with Michael Vick at quarterback. If Kaepernick was doing this, if Cam Newton, if Chip Kelly had one of those guys, I would be all in. And I'm telling you, I would believe that this situation could work. But with Michael Vick, he's just not accurate enough. And like C. Rush said, he's going to take a pounding. But T. Will, you seem to be the one on the panel today that really think this is going to work. So I want to let you back in.
And I hear what you guys are saying about Mike Vick, but understand this. Mike Vick doesn't have to take a beating. He has taken some shots, and those are some things that that they must correct as far as from the coordinator standpoint, okay? But he doesn't have to take shots in this up-tempo offense, guys, okay? A few times after he handed off the ball, Shane, he stood there, okay? You have to give yourself up as a quarterback, and then they won't be allowed to hit you. Okay, and he hasn't done that. And also, in the passing game, I think they have to tighten up on their protection. He's taking some shots as he's let balls go, and he's got sacked a few times. But I think that's some things that they have to handle internally. But in this type of style of offense, you do not have to take hits. So that's a tough one. And if Mike Vick does go down, hey, I mean, I don't know. It could be a long season for the Eagles, but I do think with their commitment that this thing can work in the NFL, guys.
Yeah, I mean, but like we talked about last topic, guys, I mean, this division is terrible. If they can right the ship, it won't be too late anytime soon in that division. I don't see any of these teams running off 3-4 games in a row and running away with this thing. But see, Rush, T. Will talks about the hits, and he said he doesn't have to take hits in this situation. But see, Rush, what I see from Michael Vick is not even so much the hits. It's his ability not to hit right receivers. Like, he will not hit right receivers, and he is so inaccurate, in my opinion.
And that's a combination of getting hit. You know, if you're getting, like T. Will said, yeah, you can give yourself up, but like the last topic, it's a mental game. If you're getting hit, you're going to be looking. Those eyes are going to get big. You may shoot over DeSean Jackson's head with that ball. You may lead him low. You know, and it's a combination of a lot of stuff. It's a timing thing. Now, let's get that right. This is a timing offense. Everything is precise. So that tackle doesn't pick up that block, he gets hit. Next time he's looking at it, he overthrows him. So you're right. His accuracy in the pocket has to get a lot better for this team. But I think it's a combination of him still learning the nuances of this offense because it is very dynamic. And in the protection scheme, that falls on him as a quarterback, and that falls on the O-line as well. So it's like I said, it's a combination of both with his accuracy, but it's going to be tough if he can't stay upright.
Now, see, Rush, I want to ask you this because I disagree with T Will on this, and I'll let T Will back in. I want to get your opinion. T Will said that the NFL rosters are the same. So the Eagles aren't at a disadvantage without having, you know, they don't have 70 people on a roster. The reason why I do think it's a difference is because the Eagles are trying to run, you know, 50 plus snaps a half. So I think that, you know, your team, your specific team is going to have a more chance for injuries because you're running more plays than everyone in the National Football League. So I think depth is a factor. Or do you agree with T. Will and you're just saying, hey, you know, everybody's got the same amount of players?
Yeah, everybody gets the same amount of players. The only disagreement I have would be with you. I'm not sure who it would be with, but that run to certain key positions, you know, like if LeSean McCoy goes out, we've seen what happens. You know, they can't afford to lose a key guy is what I'm saying as far as depth goes. And if you run a lot of plays, you're going to get hit a lot of plays. So that, like I said, I don't know who I'm agreeing with, but you can't lose LeSean McCoy. You can't lose DeSean Jackson because that takes that offense from, oh, wow, he's going 70 yards to, you know, to Jason Avant, you know, so it's a difference, you know, if those key players do get hurt.
See, and that's my point too, because I really do believe even if you look at Oregon and if DeAnthony Thomas, even if he goes down, here's my thing. I guarantee you they got somebody fast that's on the bench right now that we've never heard of that will come in. And like you said, the Eagles wouldn't be able to do that. So, T. Will, I want to be fair. I want to let you back in and say your piece on this one.
Well, I think in a previous show, what I told you guys, I like that the Eagles are running this system in this up-tempo style. I don't think they had a personnel to do it right now. I don't think if Michael Vick goes down, like you made a perfect example, fine, Oregon quarterback goes down, they got somebody else fast to come in for him, okay? Now, my thing is, if Michael Vick goes down, to me, they have nobody fast to come in behind them. Okay, so now they have to change the dynamic of their offense a little bit. So and that's what I mean. The only person that I see right now that I really like to run this offense with that's personnel wise savvy is really like a DeSean Jackson or LeSean McCoy. You know, so I don't think those other guys are really, you know, fits that personnel and that scheme. But you know, Chip's gonna try to make it work anyway. And another thing, guys, you guys say, you know, Michael Vick's inaccurate and this, that, and the other. He is at times. You know, he's never been known for being the most accurate guy in the world. You know, but when you run a multitude of plays, you know, and you make plays down the stretch, that makes up for some of those mistakes that you make. You know, and that's one thing that spread has been known for, because if you can get a lot of plays off, you'll sometimes forget about the plays you made mistakes on if you're still out there making big plays.
Yeah, no, T, like I said, I'm not saying Michael Vick is bad or anything like that. I'm not saying that, but, you know, that's just what I see from Michael Vick. And as you know, T. Will, you know, in the NFL, those defensive coordinators, man, you know, they do some sneaky stuff. You know, they do some, you know, they do some weird things and they try to confuse you. And hey, but like I said, you know, Michael Vick's got to make plays in this system. And I think we all can agree on that. He's got to make plays. Regardless if it's with his feet or his arm, he has to make plays for this system to work. But hey, we'll see. You know, like I said, I still think it's the same thing. Brad Stevens, Chip Kelly, they're in the best position ever. They get fired, they'll be right back. But my thing is this, I really do believe this, and the way this thing is going, if they don't correct this thing, they've lost 8 straight at home, you know, dating back to last season. If they don't get this thing fixed, he'll be coaching USC or Texas. So I mean, hey, it's a win-win situation. And I don't think anyone in college football would want to see somebody like Chip Kelly at Texas with a defense and running this kind of offense, you know, beating guys 60-6, you know, in the Big 12. So I don't think people want to see that. So people better hope that Chip Kelly has some success so he doesn't go back and get a job better than Oregon. Let's go on to our last time. Hey, T, can we get a live update? What's that Notre Dame score?
It's 0-0 in the first quarter. But of course the defense and the special teams are keeping them in the game. They've already recovered a fumble and blocked a punt.
they play offense and defense. Huh?
Yeah, offense still can't stick it in. But go ahead.
All right, let's get this party moving. Let's go to the last one. And there's a documentary out. I don't want to mess the title up. I know it's something like Schooled. It started with Schooled. I'm sorry, I don't have the documentary. But I actually do want to see it. It's about college athletes not getting paid and NCAA making a lot of money. So we'll get that documentary up on our Podomatic website. I'm sorry about that. But I want to see it myself. Now, Arian Foster went to Tennessee, we all know, and T. Will, I'll stay right here with you. Now, he came out and said in the documentary, and he just let people know, hey, I'm going to be honest, guys. I took some extra benefits. I wasn't riding around in a Lamborghini. I was eating food and paying rent. So, first, simple question right off the bat, T. Will. What do you think about this situation right now?
To be honest with you, fine. I don't like it, and I don't agree with what Arian Foster did. Just looking at some of the things that was said, you know, he took extra money to buy food and to pay for his rent while he was at Tennessee. I disagree with both of those things because, for one, it was against the rules. Okay, it was a rule that you can't do it, and he did it. He broke rules. Okay, the second thing, fine. Understand this. Okay, if you're a part of a Division I college program, they feed you as many times as you can eat. Especially a football program, they feed you as many times as you can eat. And I have a problem with him saying I couldn't pay my rent. Well, why are you in an apartment or a house? Get your butt in a dorm room that's fully paid under your scholarship, and you'll be fine. Okay, if you can afford for your parents or someone to pay your rent in an apartment or at a house, then I'm perfectly fine with it. But if you move into an apartment or a house and have no way of paying for it, and now you want to take extra benefits, I'm not with that. I'm not condoning that. I'm not approving that. You know, and I'm not with that. You know, so for him to say, you know, he didn't have food to eat, as long as you're on campus, they'll feed you whenever. Okay, especially being a part of a football program. They even have a place to eat in their weight room, in their football weight room. So I'm not buying that, man. I'm just not buying it. And with the rent situation, hey, look, you got a perfectly nice dorm room that's paid for, and you don't have to worry about paying a DTE bill or nothing like that. I'm pretty sure they threw you some basic cable. So sit your butt down in that dorm room and do what you need to do. I'm just not buying it. It's against the rules. And what he said, I'm not buying it, fine. Not at all.
Now, T. Will, you bring up a good point. See, that's why I want to see this documentary, and I want to do research to see where he was living. Because the NCAA rule, T. Will, you don't have to stay on campus. You just got to stay somewhere reasonable. Like, you know, you can't be staying somewhere where it's, you know, $3,000 a month. You know, it's got to be somewhere reasonable. You don't have to stay on campus. So I want to dig deeper on this situation. You know, he's saying it like in Canada, we can't pay for living. Like, that's something we can't do here. So when I'm reading this statement, I'm reading it like he's like a Canadian athlete. Like, okay, he paid for rent and food. I'm confused. Like, I was confused by seeing, by reading that, T-Wheel. So let me ask you this now, T. Let's go into this situation now. What do you think the NCAA should do about this? They are busy right now, boy. I'm telling you.
Extremely busy. Like I said, they're going to have to build a whole new department. I'm telling you, it's a can of worms that's been opened up, and now they're just dealing with it. So it's tough to do anything to Arian Foster. He's not a Heisman Trophy winner where they can go get his Heisman Trophy. You know, it's really nothing they can do to him per se. But the only thing they can do is to it's something that affects his program. It affects the Tennessee program that he came from. They can fine him some money. They can forfeit some wins. Whatever the case may be, you know, they're just probably going to come down hard on the program. And it really sucks because the young men that are there now, you know, had nothing to do with the Arian Foster situation. So that's the only thing I believe, you know, technically or legally that the NCAA can do. But as much stuff is going on these days, I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Now, see, Rush, I'm going to let you in on this situation because I'm telling you, I was confused by reading this. I said, I was trying to figure out, did he go to the University of Windsor or did he go to the University of Tennessee? No, I'm dead serious. He said he took money to pay for rent and pay for food. So I'm confused. I mean, what do you think about this?
I mean, my first 2 years in college, I didn't pay for food, you know, and they give you a card. You know, you can go get food anytime, any day, any night. You know, especially if you're playing at a Division I school, I'm pretty sure your card trumps mine. So, it's a weird situation because even if you're not in the dorms, the school will still provide you room and board, like you said, as long as it's not $3,000 a month. So I really don't know what his aim is on this, because I just heard briefly about it before we hopped on the air, you know, and that's another thing, you know, I did hear him saying that his coach is riding in a Lexus and he's walking to school. Yeah, you're a student, you know, what you expect? I didn't have a Lexus in high school, you know, nobody did unless you're Johnny Football. So it's kind of a weird thing because, you know, everything is paid for at the school. You can go to the weight room. You can do whatever. You get treated like royalty there, especially in Knoxville. So I just want to know what exactly happened. How did this come about? He was staying so far off campus, and also he's making it harder on other student athletes now who are going to be up under this microscope. So, you know, that's one thing. You know, he's went through it and he's made his way out. I don't want to say don't make it bad for everybody else, because if you're doing something illegal, it's going to come to light. But now, it's getting out of hand with the NCAA.
Now, C. Rush, actually, I want to get both of your opinions on this one, but I'll stay with C. Rush for now. Now, C. Rush, let me ask you this: Do you think that when something happened 2 to 5 years in the past and we revisit it, and now somebody's got to be punished, are you like me and you're like, oh my goodness, I don't want to hear about that? Or are you like, man, hey, they cheated 2 to 5 years ago, or even sometimes 10 years ago, punish them now?
Unless it's murder, pedophilia like Penn State, I don't care. That had nothing to do with the guys that's there right now. And that's the goofy thing, in my opinion. You know, this happened 4 or 5 years ago. These kids were in eighth grade. Their head coach was somebody's assistant. You know, that has nothing to do with them. You can't punish them. The school should lawyer up and say, you can't punish us. We didn't have nothing to do with it. None of us was here. So that has nothing to do with those kids, nothing to do with nothing. And I just think it's just the NCAA want to look like the bully, like Arian Foster said, and they want to take action then. But where were you at when it was happening? You know, where's your compliance department when all this is going on? You know, you can stop. You can say, hey, you stole my radio, but it's 3 years down the road. This ain't your radio. So you can't punish somebody for something they did years ago unless it's capital murder or something that's actually law breaking.
Hey, T. Will, C. Rush want to see a statute of limitations in the NCAA. what do you think, T. Will?
Well, I'm on the other side of that coin, guys. I totally disagree with it. And I don't think it's punishing people per se. You know, they're not punishing people, guys. They're not coming down and saying, hey, you're going to be punished this, that, and the other. They're punishing the program. Okay. He's gone. They're punishing the program. And if you just so happen to be a part of that program that did something illegal, then hey, you have to suffer the consequences with it. Yes, they were in eighth grade, seventh grade, whatever the case may be. Okay. This happened a while ago. But at the same time, I don't think legally they can do anything to Arian Foster, so they have to come down on that program. Regardless of if that coach was there, if those players were there, it's still that program that needs to be punished. So, and just in general, you have to still punish. I don't think the NCAA are being bullies right now. I think people are trying to punk the NCAA. Why would you come out and say all of this now? Why would you come out and say it now? I mean, you got in the way with it. What's the point of coming out and saying it now? So now, to me, I have to do something. If you're coming to talk about me years later, hey, I got this over on T-Wheel, and he don't even know. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Somebody going to get punished, you know what I'm saying? Because if that's the case, everybody's going to do it. Everybody's going to get away with stuff, and they come out 5, 6 years later like, hey, look, this is what I did when I was there. And the NCAA is just going to continue to ignore it? Heck no. No, because you know what? That makes the NCAA look soft. And I understand it from their standpoint. You know what? Something's going to be done. Somebody's going to pay for it. Oh, he can't pay for it? Well, his program will. His alma mater will. They'll feel the pain of Arian Foster doing some illegal things when he was a part of this Tennessee program.
And T. Will, and I agree with this part, what you said. And I agree with this. Why would he even say it? If you care about your school, and you care about Tennessee, and you care about being a Vol, Why would you even say it? And I agree with you 100%, T. I'm pretty sure we can probably say thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that got stories that can go back and say, woo, when I was there, boy, it was going down. I'm pretty sure, T. Will. Like, I know a lot of people saw this story and they said, oh my goodness, a big shocker. No. I wasn't shocked. There's 100,000 people that can tell an Arian Foster story, T. Probably even worse. They probably got cars and tattoos as well. There's a lot of people that can tell that story. But I'm like you, T. Why even say it if you care about your school? So when I see things like this, T, I think it's a lot deeper than what we see. Maybe he didn't like the coach hire. Maybe somebody made him mad. So he said, okay, well, I'm going to be honest since somebody made me mad. Because I just don't understand that. Because most people, wherever they go, T. Will, and we all know this, you love your school. You care about your school. You care about what happens. You're not going to do anything to hurt that school. You're not going to do that. And for some real reason, he wants to have a real talk session. I don't get it. I really don't. But all right, we're going to do our first NFL pick'ems of the season starting this week. C. Rush, we'll go to you on this one. We got the Bears playing Pittsburgh, a desperate Pittsburgh team, and a hot Bears team. And the Bears are -2. Who you got, C. Rush?
Wow, I don't even want to say who I have. Because I don't like them, but I'm gonna say that team down there in Illinois by two. Give me the points. I just think that Pittsburgh just looks bad in all accounts. They just from top to bottom, you know, and that thing is gonna come to a head with Ty Haley, Big Ben, and Mike Tomlin. Now I love their coach, I love his fire, but I think this is gonna be Ty Haley's last weekend in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'm picking them too. I don't like the same thing positive about them either. And I'm picking this, and I hope I lose. I really do. I'm picking them as well. T. Will, who you got?
I got Chicago -2. They're gonna flat out win the game and beat Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is to me looks like a bad football team, especially offensively. I mean, they have a shell of what they used to be as far as from the receiver aspect and running back aspect. I mean, I don't know who's carrying the ball there. So they just look really bad, man. And the Bears, I think they'll dominate Pittsburgh.
Oh, now this one, I wouldn't bet on this one for sure. Colts going to San Fran. San Fran -10.5. As you guys know, Smith was arrested the other day, and Harbaugh made it very clear that's a bad personal choice he made. But guess what? He planned on Sunday, so he made that clear. He didn't leave it up in the air. He made that very clear.
Wow.
Yeah, but T, we'll stay with you on this one. San Fran -10.5. Andrew Luck just got a running back. Who you got, T?
San Francisco 49ers. I'm taking them -10.5. Andrew Luck and Trent Richardson will have some great games together as professional athletes. It just won't be this Sunday. Trent Richardson, this will be his first game. So, of course, what he'll know in the playbook is going to be limited. So I'm pretty sure he'll make some kind of impact, but not a huge impact. And, he'll definitely make a huge impact in Indianapolis. It just won't be this Sunday, guys. So, give me the 49ers. And the 49ers -2.5.
This is the only reason I'm taking San Francisco, and I'm just going to be honest. It's because they got their butt kicked. They just got their butt whooped. So that's the only reason I'm taking San Fran. I still think this spread is a little bit too big, in my opinion. But I got to go with San Fran because they can't wait to get back out on this field. C-Rush, who you got in this one, man?
I'm going to go with the Colts. And no Vernon Davis is going to be huge. That's Kaepernick, one of his favorite targets. I'm going to think the Colts will cover this spread. They'll play energized football with this new running back, this new gift that Cleveland gave them for some reason. And I think it'll be a close game. I understand San Francisco's mad, but they got people that's in jail still right now. They're playing tomorrow. So, you know, I just think the Colts are going to keep this one close.
Yeah, I mean, I got to be honest. I wouldn't be shocked either way with this one. I try to pick some tough ones. I mean, that's going to be a tough one. But see, Rush, we'll stick here with you on this one. Houston goes to B-more, and Houston is -2.5. Who you got?
I'm going to take Houston. Once again, no Ray Rice. It's going to be tough. You know, and I don't know the status on Andre Johnson, but at least he was practicing this week, you know. Losing Ray Rice is huge for them. Losing their other receiver a couple weeks ago was huge for them. So I think that they just, they don't have the firepower that Houston has over there. You know, that's a team they've been coming from behind all season so far. And I think that they'll get it done and cover this spread.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way with Ray Rice being questionable that you can go out and pick Baltimore in this game. So I'm going to have to take Houston at -2.5 as well. T. Will, who you got?
I got Houston. They're just a better football team. I'm not really impressed by Baltimore this season. Houston has more weapons. And let's just hope Arian Foster can, you know, hit a bonus this week so he can pay his rent and bounce for food.
I knew you had to take a shot at him there. But, hey, well, all right, guys. See, Rush, you have a good show. Who's flipping the pots and pans over there?
I'm not sure what's going on.
You have a good show, C-Rush?
Yeah, I had a beautiful show.
I just want to say about the last show, sorry guys about the technical difficulties. That was, I had a shortage in my cord, and I had no idea, so I went out and got another one, and I hope it was crystal clear this one, this show. T-Wheel, how you feel?
Man, I feel pretty good. Great show today. Hey, guys, I don't want you guys to think I got any hard feelings on Arian Foster because he is on my fantasy team, and he will be playing tomorrow. So I just want to let you guys know that. And there's nothing like taking this puppy, man, from the gridiron, man, to the internet.
Yeah, and Wilson Rush Podcast, we want to apologize because we've been only doing one show a week lately, and we've been neglecting the NFL, and it's been all kind of stuff going on in the NFL. So we're definitely going to look to get two shows a week and start that cycle back up and going. If you got any emails or any topic ideas, hit us up, WilsonRushPodcast@gmail.com, and enjoy all the football. Change your mindset. Change your address. We always represent 7 Mile and we out.